Yeah, Greg.
Yeah.
Is that other show still playing in the background?
Yeah, we're trying to get rid of it. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and live from the telephone tonight is the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. And are you picking up okay?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Good. Well, I am talking to you tonight from, I am all the way over at the Mill Creek Golf Course in Ostrander, Ohio. This is where Ben Curtis's grandparents started this golf course, and of course he ended up winning the British Open. He was a graduate from Buckeye Valley High School. He actually graduated with my daughter Heather, but that's been just a few years ago. But it's great to be here tonight. Again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker at Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number is 740-972. Wait, that's my phone, isn't it, Terry? 740-494-2222.
There you go.
And our web address is prospectccf.com. So we'd love to hear from you. Our service times are at Sunday school is at 9:30, and services at 10:30 in the morning, followed by a midweek service at 6:30. And we also have Sunday evening at 6:30 with youth group. But, you know, I think I remember before I got off the phone or got off the air last week, I said that the youth group was going to have a great time on Sunday night, and indeed it did not disappoint. They had a great time. They had breakfast for dinner, cooked outside, and a cornhole tournament. How do you like that?
Oh, man, that sounds like that's a pretty fun-filled evening right there.
Yeah, they had a great time. They truly did.
That's awesome.
Boy, what happened? Did summer sneak back on us? What is this, an Indian summer, as they call it?
I love it. I love it.
It is warm, and no complaints here. How's your week been, Terry? Pretty good?
Yeah, not bad. Yours?
Oh, it's...
Sounds like busy.
It was a trying week, I'll say that.
Okay, sounds like you're busy, of course, as always, but...
Yeah, it's just, you know, the nature of the beast. I go in a lot of directions and do a lot of things. I do a lot of subbing for the school. I know I'm a pastor, but, you know, sometimes I like to help out when we can, and we just don't have a lot of people aren't interested in that part-time stuff. And I try to make myself available when they need me. I rode bus last week with some kids that had different disabilities, and yesterday I subbed in the school in the developmental disabilities class. And today I had actually was asked to take a girls' golf team to a golf outing, so while they're golfing, we're on the air. And that was kind of, I'm going to have to slow those things down. I don't think that I got to make sure that I get my duties done and things I need to do. But anyway, it's not been a bad week. I've got a lot of things on my plate. And you know, I tell people sometimes, if your plate's too full, kick a few things off of it. And sometimes I eat my own words on that, because my plate gets full, too, and sometimes there are things I allow onto the plate because my eyes are too big.
Yeah.
But we think we can do more than we can. And I also find as we get a little bit older, I think it's harder to... you remember how you did things when you were younger and the time frame you could do them in. And you just can't do it at that pace you used to. And this is something that's just snuck up on me in the last few years. And I don't particularly like it. But you know, today, I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about. I want to be positive, but I'm going to talk about somewhat of a negative subject. And that negative subject is toxic people.
Mm.
Yeah, toxic people will be the topic for tonight.
All right.
And I'd like to, if anyone wants to call in or have anything to say, they're more than welcome to call into the station. We are at, Terry?
740-383-9944.
That's right, 740-383-9944.
Call in. Just go over the rules with them, though, is the only thing.
Oh, yeah, there's always rules, isn't there? Mm-hmm. The rules are that we more than welcome your calls and discussion, but it has to be clean, decent, and non-confrontational. How's that? Sound good?
Yep.
Certainly sounds good to
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
But I want to talk about toxic people, what toxic people do to us. And you know, that's kind of been a buzz phrase in the last few years. You've got to get away from toxic people. And people use that from everything to leaving their spouse to sometimes they use it as an excuse just to get away from people and get away from things. That, you know, I shouldn't be around toxic people. So how do you recognize people that are toxic, do you think? And what do you think we mean by that phrase, toxic? Do you have any ideas, Terry?
My guess, I'm sure it's probably a more glorified word maybe for, like, negative people. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that could be it, negative, yeah. How about people that will bring out the worst in you?
Ah, good one, okay.
That's what I would think of. People that when you're around them, things get kind of ugly. Maybe your mood goes, maybe your attitude goes, maybe they get you thinking on things you shouldn't. So actually, toxic people can even be people that you enjoy being around, but they're not good for you.
Hmm.
Or they could be people that, you ever have somebody when you're around them for a particular period of time, you find yourself doing things you shouldn't or thinking things you shouldn't, or just getting depressed in general.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, you really do. I know there's a particular radio host that I won't get into any names, but this particular radio host, I won't really say that I disagree with them, but I find when I listen to them for any period of time at all, I find myself feeling angry about the subject matter and the things that are being talked about. Even if I'm agreeing with them, I find myself that they are masters at working up my blood pressure.
Mm.
And I was talking to another friend about this same host, and they said, you know, they do that to me, too. On the way to work, I'll turn them on, and by the time I get to work, I'm not in the mood I was before I turned that on. And so there's something, it could even be someone you agree with that is can be very toxic to you. They can start your day off wrong. Another way I think that we look at toxic people is people that were, as a Christian, people that will pull you away from God. People that will talk you into, hey, come on, buddy, you don't need to go to church this weekend. That church isn't going anywhere. Let's go to, are we going to say it, Terry?
Yeah, go ahead.
What am I going to say? Let's go to?
The Browns.
The Browns game.
No, I'm kidding you, of course.
I know, but that's a running joke.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah, it's a little inside joke there, but yeah.
But it can be anything. But it's that person that will pull you away from things that you should be doing.
Yeah.
I remember several years ago, we were operating a youth center, and we had some kids that were really starting to come around and ask the right questions and be better kids than they were and starting to get out of trouble a little bit. And this guy comes around that was real popular and just started coaxing them all over to his place instead of going to the youth center. Many times the parents would drop them off thinking they were there, and they'd take off over to this guy's house. That kid was toxic for those kids. And you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes, though, I think really when it comes to a spouse, someone that is our husband or wife, that even though there may be a level of what we might want to call toxicity, maybe they get us upset, maybe they bring out our anger in us, I think that we owe it to them as our spouse, because of the commitment that we've made, to analyze what's causing the problem before we just, in blunt terms, kick them to the curb. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the Bible allows for divorce in the case of adultery and abandonment. But, you know, many times with a spouse, the reason there's a great deal of arguing going on is because neither one of you are giving an inch. And you're supposed to put the other one first. And many times we get frustrated with a lot of things, especially bills, the way money's being spent. You know, one of the huge arguments with spouses is, and I can even see where I've had this issue at home. I think everyone does a little bit. You start talking about not having any money or what we need to do, or, oh boy, we're really getting close here or there. And the other person automatically thinks that you're saying that they spend too much. And when the conversation may really be, hey, are we getting close? Maybe I'm the one that's doing the spending too much. But I think that we get real defensive when someone brings up money when there's two people involved. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I've had that happen in the past before, so.
Yeah, sure. You know, I think that a lot of people think that, well, if you're bringing up money and it's a problem, then you wouldn't bring it up unless you think it's my fault. And that's truly not the case. Sometimes it's being brought up just to say, hey, look, where are we and maybe what should we do? Maybe you need to correct me on what I'm doing financially. But, you know, I really wish many times that husbands and wives would really sit down and have an open conversation about money without feeling that someone's attacking them. And that happens all too often. And honestly, the truth was known, we've all spent money before or tended to do it where we shouldn't. And one person in the family can be, you know, usually more worse than another person. But that's not the point. The point is to talk about it. So I guess some of those things that we call toxic with people, or you don't understand me, you don't care about me, blah, blah, blah. I think that with that being said, that a lot of that can be put away if we're willing to do what we should be doing and actually make that conversation. I'm going to roll up a window. I hear a golf cart coming. Now maybe we can hear again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so but back to toxic people, I think that many times we see it as parents too, but I think that, you know, with our kids, we can see a complete difference in our kids based on who they're hanging out with, you know, and the kids that they're running with. You've heard parents say, well, so-and-so got into the bad crowd. You've heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
That would be that group of people that you don't necessarily want your kids around. And, you know, I think it's important, Terry, that we understand that it's our responsibility to see who our kids are with and what people are doing what. But have you ever had a toxic relationship yourself?
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple of them, yep.
That
they're no fun. I know that.
Sometimes you don't know how to get out of them.
Yeah.
You know, they can really be that bad. And you know, someone that you don't know how to, you know, this person's been a friend of mine for so long, and they're really causing problems that they don't want to correct. So how do I kindly back away from it? You know, would be one.
Well, then I think also too, it's a million times worse. Like if it's a family member, you know what I'm saying, or something like that.
Yeah, that can be really difficult. I think that sometimes when it involves a family member, you just have to agree to love them and have as little interaction as possible while you still love them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, when you put it that way, it makes sense. But boy, do they make it difficult to do that, though. I mean, I don't know if am I saying that right, or I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have a family member, not one of my kids or anyone. But I have a family member that I really desire to have a relationship with and be close to, but they completely make it impossible.
Yeah.
every time I try to have a relationship with them, they're very negative. They're very dark. They always bring up the worst, which brings out the worst in me. Mm-hmm. They can't ever just be, they just can't ever just let sleeping dogs lie. And I think they're that way with everyone they know. It's not just me. Now, if it was just me, I'd have to look in the mirror real hard. But in this particular person's case, basically his entire surroundings of family have stepped away from him. And it's very, very difficult. It really is. It's a sad thing when that happens. But I think that I know that I have found that, when I try to make that relationship solid again, I always end up getting really hurt. So in my wife's case, you know, one thing you never want to do is let your spouse know that there's a family member that is really hurting you. Because, man, I'll tell you what, you think that mamas protect their babies? In those cases, I think mamas protect their husbands, too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, it's sometimes you just have to let those people, you know, go for your own sanity. Don't you think so?
Yeah. I was going to say, down the line, do you think, though, that if and when the relationship would ever get stronger, that I don't even know how to word this, that it would become stronger, I guess? I don't know if that's, I mean, by all the...
You know, we can always pray, we pray and we hope for that, but sometimes that just is not a possibility. And if you have someone that every time they start getting involved in your life, you start, dare I say, it brings out the worst in you, or it causes you to stumble, or you to struggle, or you to have bad thoughts, and you've tried everything that you can, I think sometimes you just have to step away and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I just can't do this anymore. And maybe you don't need to bluntly come out and say it, but it just backpedal for your own sanity.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the weird thing. That's kind of what I'm doing, like, right now, you know, because I have a member, you know, but it's the weirdest thing. Like you said, I've tried numerous attempts to, and it just... they just don't want any part of it. So, you know, there comes a point in time when you just say, look, you know, like you said, enough is enough, you know, for my own sanity, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Well, and two, I think that not just, you know, you have people that, the Bible's pretty clear on separating ourselves from people like that, that we are not allowed to. Anybody that's going to come between you and the Lord. And here's the thing about that. If they're bringing you down like that, you're not walking close to the Lord when you're ready to fight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, people that bring you and pull you that way, you got to do something about it. You really do. You can't keep walking into the same old thing over and over and over again. And I believe too, Terry, there's people that are bullies. Why they're bullies, I don't know. I do know that most people that are always negative all the time and trying to maybe be negative to you or bring out something in you, I think that is negative. I think they probably suffer from some form of low self-esteem. But yet, at the same time, most bullies do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think with that, you hit the nail right on the head. You're kind of describing the exact thing that really I'm going through, because that's exactly what the person does. You know, go ahead.
And you don't need that. You can care about people and not let them do that. And if you have to tell them, look, I'm not going to let you do this. You do it all the time, and I love you, but I'm stepping back. I have to, for my sanity. You know, until you can be a friend of mine and love me, and as a friend or a brother or whatever you are, and not constantly be belittling me or putting me down or putting me in a dark place, then, you know, we're just not going to be able to be close. But, you know, it's just a really sad situation. There's so many people like that. Mm-hmm. And it does happen a lot. You know, anyone that is going to bring you into a bad place does not have your best interest in mind. Now, think about that. They can say they do. They can act like, you know, hey, look, you know, I just want you to be better. This is why I'm cutting on you all the time. That doesn't fly with me.
Right.
But, you know, the truth is that a lot of people, they really are in a negative place, and they want everyone in that negative place with them. And you can't get ahead that way, Terry. You just cannot, you can't get away by being around people that are always going to be just completely negative. And you have to look beyond that. You have to trust God. You have to get away from it. Because usually people like that, even if they have a group of friends, their group of friends are usually just as negative as they are, or they wouldn't be around them all the time. So that's another area that you have to watch out and be careful for. I know that in the church, every church has struggled for years. You know, there's those people that are in there to not to unify, but to divide. And that's what they do. And they gain support and they gain people and they end up dividing and separating, and they can completely ruin the spirit in a church, you know, if you let that go too far. But that's not really what I was talking about tonight, but it's another example of that. And you know, a lot of times people that are bullies that have to throw their temper around, throw their attitude around, they need to be shown they just can't do that. You know, it isn't going to work with me. Most of them cower pretty easily when you stand up to that. And sometimes we just have to do that. So with that, with, you know, knowing that about those kind of people, let me flip it around. What happens if you have a group of people that are always wanting to move forward, they're always wanting to look for new ideas in a good way, they're always wanting to, in my case, you know, what does God have us to do? How can we grow the ministry? How can we be positive? How can we love people? How can we reach out? And they're doing those things. You know, where are you going to be if you attach yourself to those people? You know, things will be positive. You'll go in a positive direction. You'll advance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You look at many times kids in school, and you'll see the kids that start running with the wrong crowd, and they go downhill, and they never recover. And you'll see other kids that maybe have been in the wrong crowd, and they start, you know, spending time in the right crowd, and all of a sudden they become the person they were meant to be, and God uses them greatly, and it's because of that environment that's around them. They've changed that environment. Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and what's also so interesting is how quick something like that, they can make that turnaround. I mean, that's what's so neat about it.
You mean in a positive way?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would completely agree with you on that. I've seen young people, you know, working with teenagers, I've seen young people change, sometimes by force, by parents, change the group that they're spending time with. And literally, in just a few weeks or months, their grades come up, their attitude changes, you know, it's amazing. And all it took was that parent or someone putting their foot down and saying, no, this is a toxic situation and you're not going to be in that. And I think that every parent has the right to do that. Now, you're going to get a lot of kicking and screaming and squealing from the young people that you know, you're judging people, you don't like my friends. You know, I've heard all those. But the truth is, yes, I probably am judging somebody, and I don't like your friends. You're right. That's why we're doing this, and we're going to do it. Because as long as you're under my roof, you're my responsibility, and I love you too much to watch, sit back and watch you ruin your life around people that don't care about you.
Right. But in the long run, I mean, you know, of course, I'm sure they're grateful for it, but it's just at the time, you know, you just get a lot of that, like, backlash and all that stuff, so.
Sure. I think that if people truly, honestly care about you and not themselves, they're going to want the best for you. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, when you put it that way, yeah, that makes that's a good way to put it. I like that. Yeah.
I think that if I'll use a boyfriend girlfriend situation, okay. You know, you've got somebody that oh, I love you to the end of the earth, and I you don't know how much I care about you, and on, but then they're doing things intentionally that in their own life that is hurting you and bringing you down to a worse place. Actually, what they truly are is what I would call narcissistic. It's all about themselves. Mm. And you become more of a possession to them. Mm-hmm. And they want you to do what they're doing. They don't really care about you, because if they truly, truly cared about you, say they were, for lack of a better example, say they were doing heroin or they were a drug addict, And, you know, if they really cared about you, what they'd be saying is, look, I really care about you, and because of that, I got to let you go. You know, I either got to straighten myself up or I got to let you go. Not, baby, don't leave me.
Right.
And then a year down the road, poor baby's on heroin, too. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see that happen over and over again. I'm just saying that if people really care about you, really do, they're going to let you go. If they're toxic and they know what they're doing is toxic, they're going to let you go. I'll tell you an example. Years ago, as a young man, I went through some difficult times and ended up even as a younger adult having friends that I probably shouldn't have been running with. And I don't know if running with is the right term, but associating with couples that weren't, that liked to party on the weekends and all that kind of stuff. And just, it wasn't anything that was going to have me where I needed to be. Certainly not as a child of God. And I remember when I made the conscious decision to not spend time around those people and to step away from that there was some question in my own family about, you know, those are awfully good friends of yours. You don't want to just abandon them. And I said, I'm not going to abandon them. I said, but the thing is, if they really think a lot of me, it's not going to matter to them that I quit drinking with them on the weekend and doing these kind of things. They're going to be happy for me because they know the struggles that they have with it. But I said, if they're not real friends, they'll just write me off because I'm not doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Do you want to guess what happened?
Mm-mm.
What do you think happened? They wrote me off.
Oh, yeah. They pushed you off to the side, you know, or whatever, and continued on.
Yeah,
with
if you're not going to travel down the same loser road I am, then I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
And they knew full well that what the decision that I made was better for my family and better for everyone involved. But because it wasn't what they wanted to do, they just kind of wrote me off as being no fun anymore, I guess. But that's my whole point. People that really care about you, it's not going to matter if you start doing the right thing. They should be encouraging and glad that you are. But usually they're not. What is the old saying? Misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why this relative of mine, every now and then I'll throw a dart at me. I'll think that we're getting along okay, and really am, and I think things are becoming normalized a little bit. And then they'll hit me right with the crosshairs. You know, I mean, they throw a dart right at me out of the blue to just break my heart. And it's, to me, it's kind of like, oh, you were still miserable and you thought things were getting too nice, so you wanted to make me miserable all over again. and they do that, and then I just say, you know what, I don't need this. I do not. It's sad because you love these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a people person. I don't write people off. I'm not one that, it's very hard to get me to write someone off. And another thing that I know about my character, and I think that God has instilled this with me as I've drawn closer to Him, is I'm not a grudge holder. If somebody can hurt me, and if they do, you know, if they want to make things right, if they want to, you know, admit that situation or whatever it was, man, I write it off. We're back to being best friends again. I'm just not that way to want to push people away that hard. But sometimes you get to the point where, you know, the old saying about once bitten, twice shy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not twice shy. I usually get bit two or three times, and then it starts to really hurt, sting just a little bit. But there comes a point where what I'm saying is sometimes you really do have to step away for your own sanity and let people go on their own. And it's not always that easy. It's not easy to lose people that you care about, people that have been in your life. But if they're going to affect your daily, just everything that goes on daily, you know, you see the phone ringing and look over and it's their number, and all of a sudden your heart goes boom. You know what I mean? That's not good for you. You know, time to block that number, you know? But what are some of your thoughts on this, Terry?
Well, I say everything that you've talked about is exactly what I'm thinking, too, is that eventually there just has to come a time and a place to where it just comes to a head for you, and you just say, you know, forget it. But I think I find myself really being a lot like, I'm not really a grudge holder, so to speak. I mean, I don't know. People can pretty much do me the way, you know, and I'm still gonna try to be their friend and all that stuff, so.
Right. You know, I mean, could you imagine if Jesus Christ was a grudge holder?
Yeah.
Man, we'd all be in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's not. I mean, he forgives us. And he tells us in the scripture how many times should you forgive. 70 times 7 is what it says.
Wow.
And that's a number to just get the point across. Obviously, that doesn't mean that at 490 times that you stop forgiving. It just means you just continue to forgive. But we ought to be a forgiving people. But it doesn't mean that we have to let people continue to be at a point of ruining us. And you know, that certainly does happen. I think this is a topic, too, when we talk about it, that just about everyone can really, really relate to. Because someone's had someone in their life that's like, oh, man, you know, I've got to get away from this, or I've got to get away from that person, or, you know, they're really going to bring me down. I know as a pastor a few years ago in the church, there was someone that when they walked in the door of the church, I just felt a dark cloud coming into the room. And it really affected me, and I didn't want it to. And eventually God took care of that situation, and the dark cloud wasn't there anymore. But, you know, those people can just do that. They're always looking for something to jump on, always looking for something to disagree with. Several years ago, it was almost kind of silly the way it happened. I had lost my mother, and she died. I knew where she was. She was in heaven. She wasn't really lost, but she had passed away, and it was a very hard time for me. I had found her, and we were close. It was just tough all the way around, and my nerves were shot. I mean, they were, you know that thing, I've got one nerve left, and you just got on it. I was in the pulpit about a week after she died, giving a message, and there's this little old man that used to come to the church all the time. And every time when I get down to the message, he would immediately come up and start scrutinizing the message and being very critical of it. And it just so happened that Sunday, when I had that one nerve left that was just dangling by a thread, he caught me after church and said, you know, and he started in, and I remember grabbing him by the arm, stepping back into my office and shutting the door and telling him, you know, if things are that bad here, I really suggest you go somewhere else because I'm tired of hearing it. And he did. And I don't think I was in the wrong in doing that. You know, when you get done with a message, you're in a good mood. You want to encourage people. And this guy would do this every week. And it was time that he understood that. Now, I'll be honest with you, to this day, he periodically comes around to events and things, and we get along fine and we talk fine. But I had to end that relationship within the church as it was for that reason. You there? Terry? Oh, my Lord, I lost you. Terry, I lose you.
Huh?
Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you hear the last thing I said?
Nope.
What was the last thing you heard?
I can't remember. I don't know.
About the guy that I had to talk to in the church.
Okay. So, well, because that last part was fine, but it almost cut in and out for a minute there. That's why I didn't, you know, I was trying to listen to you, but I just didn't get it.
Okay. Well, anyway, I apologize for those of you out there in radio land if that bounced in and out. I am in kind of a poor spot. You know, anytime you're over around Ostrander, Ohio, there's a whole bunch of dead spots. In from the cell towers,
mm-hmm.
And I struggle with that. So we may be bouncing in and out here tonight. I don't really know.
Yeah.
How much time we got left, Terry?
About 4 minutes.
Well, I want to remind everyone that we do have our Day in the Park coming up the first Sunday in October. Very first Sunday, come over to Prospect Park at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I promise you, you will have, we're smoking some pork loin and having a lot of great food and drinks and bounce house for the kids, and just hay rides and games and just all kinds of good stuff, music. It's all free, doesn't cost anyone a dime. I encourage you to come. it's just a wonderful time. And we'll be starting Team Kid again very soon. For the young people, on every other Tuesday night, we'll be meeting at 6, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. I look forward to that. So just a whole lot going on, some really neat stuff. Church is doing great. We've been getting a lot of visitors lately, Terry. I bet you've been sending them all to us, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to send as many people as I can your way.
I don't know. Maybe you are. But we are getting a lot of visitors, a lot of young people. I keep continuing to see the average age of our congregation getting lower and lower, which is great. And I love our senior citizens. We've got a lot of them. But it's nice seeing the young ones come in, too, because, you know, the church won't be there in 50 years if we don't, right? But we've got new babies and young people. Our Sunday school classes, especially our junior church classes, are full, and it's just a wonderful time. God's doing great things at Community Christian Fellowship, and I think as long as we continue to honor Him and serve Him and choose to tell people about Him and His saving grace, I think we'll continue to grow, you know, and stay true to the Word also. Yeah. But we are at 209 East Water Street. In Prospect, 740-494-2222.
Well,
our website is prospectccf.com.
I'm going to just get this plug in real quick. I just think, as far as a congregation goes, a church is only as good as its leader. And I think if CCW is on, or, you know, if Community Christian Fellowship is getting younger and younger, more young people's coming in, that means the leader's got to be doing something right, so...
Well, if I do anything at all that's right, it's I just give myself to God to use. I don't take credit for anything the church does. You know, God is the head of the church.
Yeah.
And I certainly, anyone wants to pray for me out there, pray that I stay continually in the hand of God and doing what God wants me to do.
Absolutely. I mean, like I say, because you evidently got the vision of what God wants you to have, because, you know, if your congregation's growing like that and stuff, you're definitely doing something right. So that's just my two cents for what it's worth, but...
Well, that's welcome that two cents. How's that?
Okay.
Terry, it's been great.
About a minute
to go,
Pastor, so if you want to wrap it up...
Got a minute to... That's fantastic. Hey, I want to encourage everyone out there to do something. We got winter sneaking up on us. If you know elderly people that need any winterization in their home that you can help with, or anything to help them be warmer, begin to start thinking about those things, checking in on those that need it, especially the shut-ins, widows, people that, you know, widowers even, people that don't have someone to take care of them all the time. And I encourage young people, check on mom and dad. You need to do that. And a lot of things they just can't do anymore that they used to do. You know, whether it's putting in storm windows or winterizing or just a lot of things like that. So I want to encourage everyone to please do that. Look out for your neighbor. Look out for those of you around that need different things. It's such a blessing to help other people. We should try and I
You're
encourage you
to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
Okay, well, let's. Here we go. It's announcement time.
Did I want to write myself on an independent ticket and run for president of the United States?
What inspired this?
A lot of the situations where it's quite evident that it's time for a change. Everything must change. If there were no butterflies, if there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies. Change, change, change. That's what it's time for, Scott. You know it. Terry Tackett knows it. Scott Anthony knows it. Brianna knows it.